Go with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. When you get it, say amen. For all the Bible scholars in the house, that's the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I speak grace and peace unto you. Thank God for everyone that's represented here today. There's a lot of places you could be doing on this fine Sunday morning, but you chose to come and lift up the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this house. We thank you for the great state of Hawaii. We thank and praise you for the leaders here. We thank you for the worship that just went forth. And we welcome the Spirit of the living God to move upon us, to have free course in this place, in our hearts, in our minds, in our thoughts. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Teach us, lead and guide us into all truth today. Show us some things we've never seen before. Open up our understanding like never before. And we ask that your kingdom will come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven today. We thank you that before we leave here that you're going to break the back of the devil. You're going to bring healing, deliverance. You're going to set the captive free. You're going to remove burdens and destroy yokes. In the awesome name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to begin at verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration and power of the Spirit, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teach, but which the Holy Ghost teach, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receive not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet of himself no man judges. For who have known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Father God, we thank you for your word. We know it's already blessed. Amen. I want to talk today about the Spirit of the living God. Is that all right? Living on the inside of the believer is the most awesome person in the universe. His name is Holy Spirit. Amen. We must understand that Passover or Calvary is where God took care of our sins.
Amen.
Because we're all sinners in need of a Savior. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. The Bible says in Adam, all died. The Bible says that all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So first thing we needed was a Savior. We needed someone who would become sin for us, who would give his life as a sacrifice, as a sinless lamb, to die for our sins, make atonement and propitiation for us, so that we might be cleansed from all unrighteousness and have access back to Father God. You guys agree with that? So Passover was important because there had to be Passover before Pentecost. God dealt with man's sin during Passover. He dealt with our sin at the cross. Amen. The church understands that. The church understands Calvary. The church understands that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We understand that he said, no man can come to the Father except through me. We understand that Jesus said, I am the door. Amen. But now we have to transition into Pentecost, because much of the church is still worshiping at the door. Hallelujah. Much of the church is still bowing down, have not moved any further than Passover. We're still at the cross, and thank God for the cross. Amen. Thank God for my Lord and Savior. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. But Jesus came preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He did not come preaching the kingdom of the cross. Amen. So there had to be a Passover before Pentecost. Now, let me just say this. Pentecost is for the sinner. Passover was for your sins. What am I trying to say? Well, if we never fully understand and operate in what was given at Pentecost, we would never ever move from Passover. If we never fully understand what was sent from heaven on the day of Pentecost, we would find ourselves stuck in a cycle of sin at Calvary. Are you with me? Say, Pastor said another way. Passover was where your sins was dealt with. God sent the Holy Ghost to deal with the sinner. And if we do not learn and understand and allow the teacher of the Holy Ghost inside of us to reveal the kingdom to us, we will find ourselves always repenting of our sins at Calvary. Always in a repetitious state of mind at Passover. Hallelujah. But Jesus said, I'm the door. The door into what? The door into the kingdom. And now that you're in the kingdom, he wants to show you the kingdom. Any help in the house? Amen. Do you realize we just read where the Bible says, I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for us. But the very next verse is the important verse. It says, but. Let's look at that. But. Somebody say, but. We get back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Amen. It's the Spirit of God. From the day of Pentecost, look at what was the first thing that happened at the day of Pentecost. The Spirit of God came in like a rushing mighty wind, and the Bible says, and cloven tongues of fire sat on each one of them. The first area of our life that the Holy Ghost began to move upon when we operate in Pentecost is your mouth. Hallelujah. When the Holy Ghost came in, cloven tongues of fire sat on each one of them. The first thing God wants to do, and see, they begin to speak in new tongues. The first thing the Spirit of God wants to do is teach us about our mouth. Amen. Because the Bible says that the mouth, the tongue, is the rudder of the boat. And if God can get your mouth in order, he can get your life in order. Amen. So Pentecost comes to deal with the sinner. Passover came to deal with your sins. And if we don't give a revelation of why God sent the Holy Ghost on Pentecost, we'll find ourselves stuck at Passover. Amen. We have living on the inside of us the third person of the Trinity, who is our tour guide of the kingdom. There is nothing greater God rather do than commune with you on an individual basis and show you the kingdom. Amen. Now that the blood of Jesus has cleansed you from all unrighteousness, now that the blood of Jesus has washed away your sins, now that you are in right standing with Jesus Christ, he's ready to show you the kingdom. And the kingdom is only revealed by the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know why he's here? Because your eyes have not seen, your ears have not heard, neither have entered into your heart what God have prepared for you. So on the day of Pentecost, he sent the Spirit into the earth so he can show it to you. And when he starts showing it to you, hear me, it's going to be some deep stuff. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a lot we talk about in the church, but we don't hear enough about the kingdom. Jesus came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. He didn't come preach and repent for the church is at hand. He didn't come preach and repent for your denomination is at hand. He didn't come preach and repent because the bride of Christ is at hand. The body of Christ is at hand. He came preaching about the kingdom. And that's one of the main things we don't hear enough about in the church is the kingdom. And we're going to talk about the kingdom today, because the very reason the Holy Ghost came to live on the side of you was not just to give you the kingdom, but show you the kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. John chapter 16. We're going to get back to 1 Corinthians. John 16, 13 reads, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you. We have a guide for the kingdom of heaven inside of us. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Same book of John, chapter 14. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Amen. The purpose of the Spirit of God coming and living inside of the believer is to reveal all things unto you. Somebody say all things. Look at what he didn't say. He didn't say some things. He didn't say many things. Hallelujah. He didn't say great things. He said all things. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of us, the Spirit of truth, to reveal all things unto you. That means ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open unto you. Why? Because the Spirit of truth is inside you to reveal all things to you. He wants to give you the hunger and thirst of his word to begin to ask questions. Why? Because I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man that which God has prepared for you. Do you want to know what God has prepared for you? All you got to do is ask. Hallelujah. Begin to search into the scripture. Begin to dig. Now, if the Holy Ghost is called teacher, guess what he's lacking? Students. And any professional teachers in the house will tell you that the thing that excites them the most is when a raised hand goes up in class. The problem with many of us is we don't ask enough questions, First Lady. Amen. We take the pastor's word for it. And we don't study to show ourselves approved unto God. Workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. We don't dig and research on our own. Hallelujah. We just leave all of the deep things and the mysteries and the questions being answered to the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost didn't come live in a fivefold ministry. He came and lived in all believers. Amen. The same spirit that speaks to the pastor can speak to you. The same spirit that flows through your leaders flows through you. He is waiting and yearning and craving you to speak to him. Hallelujah. He's waiting for us to wake up and say, good morning, Holy Spirit. He's waiting for you to talk to him the same way you talk to your spouse. Amen. It's going through your day. It doesn't matter how simple or how important it is. The Holy Ghost is a person who yearns for your attention. Amen. He's not some mystical, unseen being in the universe. He is the third person of the Trinity. He is a person, a gift from God, sent to live inside you to answer your questions and reveal all things to you. So if you're walking and don't understand something, that is not God's problem, because he sent the best that he had to live inside of you. The Bible says that we've been sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption. That means when you fill with the Holy Ghost, God puts his mark on the inside of you, and he cannot leave. You're sealed with him. And so since you have him, talk to him. Welcome him. Introduce yourself to him. Begin a dialogue with him. Some of you in school, and you're going to be facing some stuff in those universities, the Holy Ghost better be your closest friend, because there's going to be times you can't make it to pastor, you can't call mama, your spiritual leader is not available, but you right there in the thick of it, the Holy Ghost is there. Do you not realize that everything you need, born again believer, is not outside of who you are? And too much of the church is still doing this. Amen. I promise you, the stuff you're praying for is already in your regenerated spirit. People asking for more love. Do you realize love lives inside? When God regenerated your spirit, it's called being born again. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The new creation is your born again spirit. And within your born again spirit, it already has, or he already has, God's nature, God's love, the fruit of the spirit. That's where the gifts dwell. That's where the mind of Christ dwell. Everything that's in the kingdom, does not the Bible say that the kingdom of God is within you? So the church, we have to transition from praying for. When you recognize that the kingdom is within me, when you recognize all that that treasure and earthen vessel of your born-again spirit, when you recognize that the spirit of the living God and the teacher, the comforter is inside of you, you will stop praying for. And you will begin to pray from. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We will move out of being babes in Christ to handling the meat of God's word. Because you're walking around understanding everything that I need is not outside of who I am. If I need more joy, it's in your regenerated spirit. If you need more patience, it's in your regenerated spirit. If you need more peace, it's in your regenerated spirit. And we have to transition from under. See, we understand perfectly walking in the flesh. Because we did it so long before we came into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And even though we're born again now, even though we're spirit-filled now, and even though we go to church all the time now, we still don't understand kingdom. We still don't understand what God deposited on the inside of our regenerated spirit. And so that causes us to stay in a perpetual state of asking instead of being. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The reason why we keep asking is because we don't know what we and who we are. The Holy Ghost comes. He's the tour guide. Amen. He showed us Calvary. We understand the sacrifice. We understand that he who knew no sin became sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. We understand the sacrifice of Jesus, but he does not want us to just stay there. He wants to show you the riches that are in Christ. Amen. It is more than Passover. Hallelujah. And it's amazing how when you say a statement like that, people think that you are devaluing the sacrifice. No, I'm just giving you the word. Amen. It took Calvary for you to get into the kingdom, but Calvary is not the kingdom. The kingdom is the kingdom. Jesus didn't say, I'm the kingdom. He said, I'm the king of the kingdom, and I'm the door for you to get into the kingdom. Now that you're in the kingdom, there is so much that the Holy Ghost wants to show you, and all you have to do is ask. Amen. I don't have 22 books because God likes me better than everyone else. I ask a lot of questions. Hallelujah. Amen. And let me tell you something that is kind of heavy. Ask the Holy Ghost to give you the questions to ask him. Amen. Because it's not by might. It's not by power. It's by his spirit. Ask him. And you know what the Holy Ghost is going to say? I've been waiting on you to ask me. And he will begin to give you the questions to ask him as the teacher, so the teacher can reveal the mysteries to you. All I do is ask a lot of questions. And I ask, see, Jesus said, unless you come as a child, you can't even come into the kingdom. Children are inquisitive. Children ask a lot of questions. That's why by the age of 5, they've learned more in those few years then they will learn the rest of their life, because they're asking questions. And as born again believers in the body, that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be children. What's that, Lord? What's that? Holy Ghost, what's that? What that mean? When I read this, what that mean, Holy Ghost? And he's the spirit of truth. He sit back and say, been waiting on you for years just to talk to me. Hallelujah. And not just the revealing of his word, he will explain the gift that he put inside you better than anybody else. Amen. He will explain the kingdom inside of you better than anybody else. There's a scripture I want to look at. First John chapter 2. You get it, say amen. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abides in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teach you of all things. That's all things again. And is truth, the spirit of truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. The Bible says we have an anointing that abides in us who reveals all truth. There's a teacher abiding in you who wants to reveal all truth. You know why Paul, when you read his epistle, says over and over, behold, I show you a mystery. Pray that I continue to reveal the mysteries of God, because he kept asking questions. Amen. He kept asking questions. And the question God had used me to keep asking was about what happened in the garden. For some reason, he gave me a propensity to the things that happened in the garden. And for almost 30 years, I spent my entire life meditating on the garden and asking questions about the garden. And the things he has shown me are amazing. For instance, I will ask the Holy Ghost, I know you made woman from man's rib, but because we know you are God of purpose, which rib? Who asked God that? Amen. We just run with rib, and there's 12 of them. He's a God of purpose. Which one? You know what he showed me? The fifth one. Oh, somebody halos went sideways on that one. He said, well, preacher, where you get that from? Well, first of all, rib is mentioned five times in the Bible. Clue number one, rib is mentioned five times. The first time is when he made woman from man's rib. The other four times, first lady, that rib is mentioned is in 2 Samuel during hand-to-hand combat on four different occasions. One of the warriors stabbed the other warrior under the fifth rib. See, the Holy Ghost will give you some crumbs when you begin to talk to him. Amen? Everything may not be written in black and white, but he will give you crumbs for you to put it together. Rib is mentioned five times. Clue number one. The other four times outside of creation of Eve is not coincidence. The other four times someone is stabbed under the fifth rib. Why? Because in hand-to-hand combat, expert warriors understand if to bring instant death, don't just stab anywhere. Don't just stab on the side. But if you get right up under the fifth rib, it's the closest to man's heart. You go straight to the heart and bring instant death. Are you with me? Say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Because God is a God of purpose. He didn't just take any rib, but he took the one that's closest to man's heart. Hallelujah. Then five represent the number of grace. Hallelujah. Your wife is the grace of God in your life. Hallelujah. Now that's just a clue. That's just a little something I wanted to throw out there. But look what happens when you just ask a question. All I asked was, which one? And the Bible interprets the Bible. Are you with me? Because the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. This Bible is called the Word of Truth. Jesus is the truth. When you begin to ask the Spirit of truth about truth, he's going to take you to the book of truth and reveal truth. And truth will always interpret itself. Hallelujah. But that is who is living on the inside of us, and we never talk to him. We never commune with him. And we wake up and we have dates. Say, okay, I'm going to have a date. A daytime with my spouse. You're going to have a time you set aside with your children. You have time you set aside with your homeboys or your girlfriends. We set aside time for everyone but the greatest one living inside of us. You ever just made a date time for the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. You want the Holy Ghost to blow your mind, spend time with him. You want the Holy Ghost to blow your mind, start talking to him. You want the Holy Ghost, eye have not seen, ear have not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man that which God had prepared for him. But he reveals it by his Spirit. If you want the Spirit of the living God to blow your mind, spend time with him. Amen. Now watch this. Whatever you love will reveal its secrets to you. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. She's going to tell you everything in her heart. Vice versa. George Washington Carver loved creation so much. He loved the peanuts so much and started talking to them. Because whatever you love will reveal its secrets to you. Amen. And he didn't go through years and years of study. He didn't go through all of that. He just loved it. Love God and watch him blow your mind in the Holy Ghost. Just love on the Holy Spirit and watch him show you some stuff. that'll make you stagger. Jesus, that was in the Word? One day I was studying about the story of David and Goliath. And, you know, we always concentrate on that David threw the stones. Threw that stone. When he got five smooth stones, he threw one stone and he killed the giant. I asked the Holy Ghost, is there anything else pertaining to this stone that I need to know about? Simple question. Guess what the Holy Ghost showed me? He showed me, he said, well, before the worlds were formed, I had ordained that Goliath die by a stone. Are you with me? He said, but it wasn't supposed to come from David. It was supposed to come from Saul. Because Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. And if you research the tribe of Benjamin, their warriors had an anointing of throwing stones and not missing. He said, so I installed a king who had an anointing of throwing stones to deal with Goliath when he showed up. But by the time Goliath showed up, the king that had a tribal anointing to throw stones wouldn't throw it. Hallelujah. But my word won't return unto me void. So there was a shepherd boy just happened to be on the way to the battle. And he was from the tribe of Judah. Judah means praise. But if you look up the root word, the Hebrew root word of praise, it means to throw a stone. Lord have mercy. Hallelujah. That just comes from asking questions. Glory be to God. I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man that which I have prepared for him, but I'll reveal it by my spirit. What spirit? The spirit that searches the deep things of God. Who knows the mind of a man except the spirit of a man? And how much does the spirit of God knows the mind of God? He searches the deep things of God. And you know what? He got all this stuff he want to show us, but we don't talk to him. He got all these mysteries he want to reveal, but we won't speak to him. Hallelujah. And you can sit there and not talk to the Holy Ghost all you want. I'm going to get the revelation you supposed to get, you supposed to get, and you supposed to get. Because I love the Holy Ghost. Amen. You ride in your car, instead of just zoning out about your bills and the troubles you're going through and where you're getting ready to go, turn the music off and say, Holy Ghost, I reverence you. I cherish you. I adore you. I'm sealed with you until the day of redemption. Hallelujah. I submit my finances to you. I submit my marriage to you. I submit all my relationships to you. Holy Ghost, Jesus. That's what we got on the inside of us. Amen. Imagine having $1 billion in a bank and you never write one check. And you struggle with your bills, and you struggle paying your stuff, and you got all that money in the bank, but you ain't brave enough to just write that check. I don't know what to do. See, we would tap into that bank account, but we won't tap into the anointing on the inside of us that teaches us all things. Hallelujah. We just read, did not Jesus say that the Spirit of God, that he was going to send the Spirit of God, and he will remind you of the things that he taught you. We read that, we know he was speaking to his disciples, and so we limit that understanding to, well, he was only talking to his disciples because he walked with his disciples for 3.5 years, and he had some conversation with his disciples for 3.5 years. And when the Holy Ghost would come, depending on the things that they're going through, persecution that they're coming up under with the religious community, the Holy Ghost is going to remind them of things that Jesus taught them in privacy. Any disciples in the house? Amen. If you are a disciple of Jesus, he wants to remind you of things too. Now look at what the scripture says. The Bible says, the Spirit of God would bring all things to your remembrance that I taught you. Does not Jeremiah chapter 1 says, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you? Amen. That's the same Hebrew word that we find in Genesis when the Bible says, and Adam knew his wife Eve.
He said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. That's an intimate term. Hallelujah. I was intimate with you before the worlds were formed. So when you came through your mother's womb, when you came out of eternity into time, you just lost your memory of what happened in eternity. So now that you're born again and you spirit filled, the one who was in eternity with you now lives on the inside of you. And when you get revelation, it's not the first time that you're hearing it. He is revealing all things. He's bringing it to your remembrance because you're not finding it out the first time in time. You find it out what he told you before time, and you just remembering it. Hallelujah. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. Glory be to God.
Let's get back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Am I helping anybody? I like this. Paul said, brethren, when I came to you, I didn't come with excellency of speech and of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Amen.
He was living in a day and age of great philosophy and people trying to sound deep and you people using big words. He said, look, I didn't come like the world. It wasn't about how much wisdom I was going to give you and how articulate and loquacious I was trying to be in front of you to impress you. He said, I came in the power and demonstration of the Spirit. In other words, I'm going to let y'all talk about it, but if you come to my meeting, we're going to be about it. Hallelujah. I'm going to let y'all philosophize about it and debate about it and argue about it, but I'm just going to reveal truth and break the back of the devil in front of you. Hallelujah. That's why I like Paul. Glory be to God. He said, now look, this is how we're supposed to be. And since you understand that,
which things in verse 13, also we speak not in the words which of man's wisdom teach, but which the Holy Ghost teach, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Hallelujah.
The Holy Ghost on the inside of us is the Spirit of truth. He lives inside of our spirit, which is born again, and he is here to compare spiritual things to spirit. That's why you can walk in a room and know exactly what's going on and not know one person in there, have not had one conversation, but because you have the Spirit of truth who knows all things, amen? The Spirit of truth is the greatest lie detector. Hallelujah. The Spirit of truth. Amen. You can be praying for somebody and their mouth can be saying one thing, but the Holy Ghost standing on the inside of you saying something else. They can be saying, well, you know, I'm having problems with this, and then, you know, I was going through this, and the Holy Ghost is saying, nope. There's a spirit of error, or there's this, there's sickness, there's... He's giving you truth. Hallelujah. Amen. The Spirit of truth is the greatest lie detector. So why do we always find ourselves in situations where we can't figure it out? Because you ain't talking to the one who was sent to help you figure it out. We always run into mama and daddy and our best friend and we look, everybody but God himself. Are you with me? Because everything you need is not outside of who you are. It's time for the kingdom of heaven to be understood and revealed that's on the inside of you. Did not Jesus say that the kingdom is not here or there, but it's inside you? What is the kingdom? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Lord, we need your Spirit. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, we reverence you. We honor you. Lord, we thank you for the greatest gift on the day of Pentecost that you sent to us in the presence of your Spirit. We welcome you in this place. And we ask that you not just visit us corporately, but visit us personally. Hallelujah. Help us to begin to recognize who you are and your purpose in our individual life. Help us to begin to recognize and reverence the power and person that lives on the inside of us, oh God. Because your word says that our eyes haven't even seen it, our ears haven't even heard it, and our hearts haven't even understood what you have. But the power and purpose of the Spirit is to reveal it to us. He is truth. He is the teacher. He is the comforter. And it's time that we understand his purpose and his power in our lives. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, I reverence you. I cherish you. I honor you. I bless you. For I know that you're real. This is not religious to me. You are real. Hallelujah. Did not Jesus say, if a son asks for bread, the father would not give him a stone? And he said, you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will the Father give you the Holy Spirit to those that ask? We bless you. And we understand that Pentecost was for the sinner. It's the presence of the Spirit of God that shows us, teach us, and grace us to live this kingdom life. It's the presence of the Spirit of God that in his timing that would begin to break the addictions and the carnal urges and appetites that we have. We can't do this by ourselves. It's only done by the power of the Spirit. For they that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. We bless you today, oh God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And as we continue, if there's anyone here who are sick in your body, the presence of the Holy Ghost is here to heal. If there's anyone here sick in your body, we want to pray for you today and watch the power of God deliver his people. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. If you're here, you're not well in your body, we ask that you come on down. Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory. Do you know anointing fall on me? Yeah. That's fine. Just play lightly for me. Thank you, man. Hallelujah. If you hear and you're sick in your body, the anointing of the Holy Ghost is present. Jesus said, for the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he have anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those who are bruised, to set the captive free. Hallelujah. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord, to remove burdens and destroy yokes. Lord, we give you praise right now. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we anoint Jim. We thank you, Father God, that you move swiftly on his behalf, that his recovery be miraculous, that you touch his heart right now. You begin to renew his strength like the eagle. Touch his heart, his vows, the blood, Father God, right now in Jesus' name. Make it new. Make him whole from head to toe, that there be no after effects in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We say be healed in the authority of Jesus Christ. We thank you for it. Yes, ma'am. For his sister Zion, and we pray that the power of your Spirit flow through her body right now. Touch her joints, her feet, her back. Let this pain never again return. I break it in the name of Jesus. I say it is so. For you are the Lord God that heals us. In Jesus' name, bless you. Yes, sir. Starting right now. In the name of Jesus. We touch her shoulder right now.
And we say that the power of the risen Savior flow through her now. We speak to her muscles, her bones, her tendons, her skin, her nerves. And we say in the name of Jesus, be healed. We say in the name of Jesus, be healed. Hallelujah. Raise that arm, move it around. Right here. In the name of Jesus, Father God. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. I say in Jesus' name, all pain, all ache, leave now in the authority of Jesus the Christ. Now in the Jesus' name. Amen. Move that around. Let me know. Lord, we bless you. We bless you right in here. Father God, we honor you. You are the Lord God that healed us. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were sick. For this purpose was the Son of Man made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the enemy. Healing is the children's bread. Father God, we honor you right now. And we say it is so. We say it is so. We say it is so. In Jesus' name. Move that thing around. We don't want you leaving here in pain, sis. Lord, we honor you. Lord, we honor you. Jesus. Father God, we thank you. Holy Ghost, move on our behalf. Move on our behalf, oh God. The spirit of healing and deliverance touch our heart. In Jesus' name. We bless you for it. We give you praise. We give you praise for him. In Jesus' name. Oh God, we thank you. Thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we honor you. Spirit of the living God. Spirit of the living God, we thank you right now. You will above all things that we be in health, that we prosper and be in health even as our soul prosper. We thank you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, oh God. How you feeling, sis? In the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for healing in his shoulder, his back muscles now. We say be healed. We command all pain, all discomfort, everything that was discombobulated in that accident, we say be made whole. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, from head to toe. Even the things he may not even know that was knocked out of whack. Father God, we say in Jesus' name be made whole. Glory be to God. Are you in pain right now? Move that around with me. It is not by power, but it's by your spirit. Hallelujah. We give you praise for it. You release his faith right now. We thank you for healing. This is your servant. His body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We thank you that you're fixing it. You're making it whole in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Move that around, sir. Lord, we bless you.
Hallelujah. You are the Lord God that heals us in the authority of Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah.
All sickness, disease, and infirmity. By his stripes we were healed. He took 39 stripes for every 39 groupings, disease groupings of humans. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, heal you now. Father God, I thank you for it now. I pray that you move on his behalf, inside out, in the authority of Jesus Christ. Father God, I thank you right now. Every symptom, every cause, every side effect of epilepsy, I break it in the name of Jesus. I speak to his neurological makeup right now, and I pray that your spirit move. You are creator, and you're the only one that can fix your product. In the name of Jesus, we say it is so. Hallelujah. Bless you, sir. Yes, ma'am. Lord, we thank you for the woman of God, and we pray that the Spirit of the living God flow through her spirit, soul, and body, that you give you renew her like the eagle. Hallelujah. You renew her like the eagle. We speak strength to every major organ. We speak strength in Jesus' name. We speak to her blood, her nervous system, her skin, her muscles, and we say be made whole in Jesus' name. And we speak to her emotions, her mind, her thoughts, her imagination, the way that she reason, perceive. We pray for a Holy Ghost overhaul right now. Renew her in the name of Jesus. I break every assignment of the devil, and I say, be healed, woman of God. Be healed. I speak revival in your very soul in Jesus' name. Glory be to God, and we thank you for it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes. Jesus, we lift up the woman of Zion to you, and we speak to her body. We command all sickness, all disease in our, all infirmity to leave her now. To leave her now in Jesus' name. We speak the healing power of Jesus Christ right now. For you are the Lord God that heal us. If there be any sick among you, bring them to the elders, that the prayer of faith will heal the sick. We say it is so. We say it is so in the authority of Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Your servant, and we pray that the power of the risen Savior surge through his body now. We command diabetes to go in Jesus' name. We speak healing from head to toe in the name of Jesus. We speak to the blood flow, to his sugar, to his nerves, And we pray that you supernaturally regenerate them now in the authority of Jesus the Christ. We say be healed in Jesus' name. Father God, I thank you right now that it is your will that we be whole. It is your will that we be healed. And we bless them right now for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. In the name of Jesus, Father God, we bless this brother right now. And we thank you that you touch him. We speak to his heart. We touch his back in Jesus' name. And we say, be healed. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. We say, be healed in Jesus' name. Father God, we bless you. We pray that the power of your Holy Spirit surge through him now, correcting everything that's not lined up with your word. Correcting everything that's not lined up with your word in the authority of Jesus the Christ. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap. Glory be to God. Thank you. God bless you. Receive your pastor as he comes.
Hallelujah. God answers prayer.